When I was seven, 8 years old, our little town was a lot smaller. Not population-wise so much as more compact. Everyone lived closer to the center of town, not sprawled out in the Tony suburbs. There weren't many businesses that were not centered downtown. You could get appliances, clothes, tires, cars, a haircut, a soda, shoes, you name it. All downtown on Main and Center Streets surrounding our county courthouse. We were blessed, by we, I mean us boys, not to have one but two Ben Franklin stores. Why, you would ask, was that a blessing? Man, those little variety stores had it all. Comics, toys, model cars, candy galore, and animals. Yep, they had a little pet department in the back where if you saved your chore money and you could afford it, or your parents really loved you, you could buy a bird, or a fish, or a turtle, or even a monkey. Our parents didn't love us enough to get a monkey. Only enough for a few turtles and fish over the years, maybe a lizard. But my little brother Dave did have round town fame for getting bit by the monkey, but that's another story. We could never save any chore money because we spent it all on bubble gum, wax lips, and candy cigarettes. So we were fortunate our parents did love us enough to buy us a few small reptiles that all ended up in matchboxes buried in the backyard. But one year, something really different. Two birds. You see, it was getting close to Easter, so the Five and Dime, another name of Ben Franklin stores, would display and sell some little baby bunnies and Easter chicks. Little baby chickens with their golden down dyed so many vibrant colors, you could get a blue one, or hey, I want this green one, or no, I'll take this orange one. After much pleading, sleeve tugging, our mother decided she loved us enough, this time, to get us two little chicks for our Easter present. We squealed with excitement. We pile out of the station wagon when we get home, Dave and I each with our little white cardboard box containing a peeping real live baby chicken. Looking back on it now, the box much resembled what I came to know much later in life as a Chinese food takeout box. With our little fingers, with our little boxes clutched by our little fingers, we scramble into the house and promising to be careful that our two babies out to love on and for them to adore us as saviors from a dismal life of doom in the Ben Franklin Pet Department. They ran around so cute, peeping so much, and well, pooping a lot. I mean a whole lot. Every few steps, it seemed, little grayish-white puddles. But our mom loved us way more than the other neighborhood kids' moms loved them, so she would just run a mop around every now and again. Yep, life was great for one day. The next day, it seemed Mom was tired and irritable and had forgotten to be the top neighborhood loving their kids' mom and said, "Enough is enough. These chickens have got to go." As our heads sank and wails were gathering themselves in our lungs, she said brightly, "I know, we'll take them to Grandma's house so they can live with other chickens." The sun burst through the clouds and evaporated our tears before we had a chance to leak even one pitifully on our cheeks. "Yay, take them to Grandma and Papaw's." That was the names we called my great-grandmother and grandfather. They lived across the town on Noel Avenue, had chickens in a little garden, and we loved them, and we visited often, and it would be okay. My mom called them up on the phone, and away we went. Dave and I stood like proud parents as the little baby chickens were released in the pen with their kindred. We assured Grandma and Papa we would come over and feed them and watch over them, and we had named them because we loved them so, Eagle and Talon, two majestic chicken names. Over the weeks, we would visit and try and spy our two little buddies, but they grew. The down became replaced with ordinary chicken feathers. Oh, for a while, we could tell them apart, but when they were full grown, it was impossible. We wouldn't admit that to one another, Dave and I, or anyone else. So we would stand at the fence. "That one's Eagle, and, well, Talon is bigger," lying to ourselves and one another. And with the growth of the chickens, the uniformity of them all, the blandness, our interest waned, and we stopped even looking. Life goes on. There are street gutters to explore for lost treasure, bikes to ride, and at least every once a couple of weeks, it seemed, a family get-together dinner, usually at my grandmother's Nan-Ann or occasionally at my great-grandparents' house. The men would make real old-fashioned hand-turned ice cream, smoke, and play washers. The women would help prepare and present the meal, and these ladies could cook. I'm telling you, cook. So no one wanted to miss these grandma dinners. We gathered at Grandma and Papa's house because we had what seemed like distant family visiting. They were distant because they lived in Pennsylvania. And my great Aunt Marion, the flashy blonde, and her kind of exotic husband, Uncle Angelo, were visiting. Time for a feast, great-grandma style. So exciting. It was all there. Green beans, mashed potatoes, corn on the cob, ham, fried chicken, our favorite banana pudding, and on and on and on and on. Dave and I were shifting from foot to foot, standing in line to get our plates filled with deliciousness. Steam still rising from the vittles, we sat down at the kids' table with our cousins and went to work on the mountain of food. We didn't speak shoveling it in, just making smacking noise and grunts. The adults found this amusing, saying, "Don't bite your fingers off," and other stuff that adults always have and always will think is funny and that kids always have and always will find beneath us. Then Grandma's chimed in. "Is it good, boys?" "Mm-hmm," we mumbled. "Do you like the chicken, boys?" "Mm-hmm," we slobbered. "Good," she said, "because that's your two chickens." We blanched, raised our heads from our plates, and looked at her smiling face in horror. She was serious. She was enjoying this, too. She laughed. They all laughed. Our little innocent hands dropped that chicken. We were cannibals. Poor Eagle. Poor Talon. We exploded into tears, dashed away from the table to go outside and hide and wait for sympathy, wait for a rescue. We waited and waited and waited. What seemed like hours, but was probably 2 minutes. We snuffled back inside, and no one seemed to notice. Our plates were just where we left them. Nothing was changed, except there was two big bowls of our favorite banana pudding, all covered in burnt just right meringue, glistening little droplets on the top. We stood there and heard Grandma say, "You boys clean your plates and you can eat that pudding." Not much left to add to this story. You know what we did, right? We stood up on the principle it was wrong to deceive us. Wrong to cook our pets. Nope. We ate that chicken and everything else on that plate. Then we ate our favorite banana pudding. Then we played Chinese checkers with Papa in the living room. We decided the chickens were stupid. And having a pet chicken was for sissies. That's what we did. And moms and dads, love your kids enough to buy them a monkey. Nobody cooks a monkey around these parts. Thank you.
Well, Tony, does that story have any roots in reality?
Yeah, it has.
So what made you submit that to the competition?
It would make you laugh, is one thing. It's mostly a true story. It captures time in my life in a small town of 15,000 people. And when people still had gardens and chickens in the city limits, and you still did find treasures in the gutters. It's a pretty good life. You could ride a bicycle. 6 years old, I rode it 5 miles from my house to my grandma's. I didn't get beat for it, so it's a pretty good deal.
Have you ever studied riding?
I haven't, not since high school. I've only had very few college classes since then. I quit riding more or less in my very early 20s, and I picked it up again the last 5 years ago.
I bet you found you have a lot more to say now.
It just comes easier. I have more time, and I try to make myself right. I'm listening to riders. I have family that are riders, and I'm listening to them now. And you know, you can sit and make yourself do as you do.
Well, do you have a favorite author or a favorite book?
I have two favorite authors. Samuel Clemens, anything he's written, period. And Ray Bradbury and Dandelion Wine is probably the finest piece of work I've ever read in my life.
Tony Smith.
Thank you.